Alonzo Bowden, I want to welcome you to episode 292 of my podcast, Who's Paying Attention? I'm going to tell you, it is 12:30 a.m. and I actually like this time of night. Where I live, it is impossibly quiet usually this time of night after midnight, and I enjoy that. Can actually hear animals or silence. You know, it's when this whole pandemic thing first started, that's what struck me, how quiet it became outside. And tonight is one of those nights. It's silent outside and in here in my house. But this isn't about the pandemic, this silence that I feel. It's about Breonna Taylor, because today's the day that the district, the attorney general from Kentucky gave out the charges, said what happened. And Officer Hankison was charged with wanton endangerment. The other two officers, Mattingly and Cosgrove, not charged with anything at all. That and wanton endangerment charge is for shooting just randomly, just shooting and shooting through a wall, which endangered people. But you know what the attorney general didn't say? You know what no one said? Her name. They, even in the indictment, nothing, they didn't say her name. That people have been asking from the moment she was shot. You know, it hits me, and the silence hits me, because beyond all the protests and the outrage and absolutely justifiable anger, it's easy to forget Breonna Taylor was human. She was a person. She was a young woman with her life ahead of her, with dreams, with, I don't know, laughs, crying, family, what, everything that makes up a human life was taken from her through no fault of her own. Cops bust in, boyfriend does what they say you're supposed to do, right? There's a castle doctrine. You can protect your castle. Someone busts in at night, you have a gun, you fire a shot. Turns out it was the cops. They open fire and they kill her. And one cop is charged because he may have shot through a wall. Shooting through Breonna Taylor meant nothing. They didn't say her name. Her life, you know, this is the thing with Black Lives Matter. This is the state of Kentucky saying, no, they don't. They absolutely don't matter. Breonna Taylor's life didn't matter. Now, some will say there was a $12 million settlement, and yes, so that's, you know, it doesn't bring her back. I mean, good for them to get the money and whatever goes along with it, but they didn't say her name. They have no respect for her life as a human. There are many, so many, that believe her life is of absolutely no value. So when they say, do Black Lives Matter, or what does Black Lives Matter mean, or this is a black life that didn't matter to millions, yeah, millions, with the counter protesters and Trump's Antifa bullshit and all of that, they have zero compassion. They can't imagine that being their sister or daughter or cousin or any woman in their family. Hers was a life, and it's gone. And I think we need to take a minute to acknowledge that. Beyond the protests and all the noise, just a minute in the quiet to acknowledge how sad and tragic it is that that woman was killed that night, and it means nothing. Except for, you know, shooting through a wall. And they knew this was coming. This isn't news, because they started the preparation a couple of days early. They put barricades in downtown Louisville. They declared a state of emergency. They brought in every cop they could find because they knew this bullshit was going to happen. You know, regarding the 12 million, I read somewhere someone had an idea that I love. They say that these settlements should be paid out of the police pension fund. Imagine how quick they'd stop shooting if their pension money started going to the victims. Wow. What a great idea. And two cops were shot in a protest, and that's not good. And I don't condone that by any means. Very few people. There's a few people who do, but the vast majority don't. You know, it's really strange, my relationship with police departments and so on, because in my career, I've worked with cops. I've done benefits for them, golf tournaments, charity stuff, you know, and I can sit here and tell you all day about good cops, about cops having a sense of humor and, you know, so forth. I know a lot of comics who've done these things, and not politically, just because they ask us to, you know, or a comedy club asks you to, or there's some benefit or something. But it's hard right now, man. It's hard because this shit is going on, and it's our lives don't matter, and it's hard to help you, and it's hard to look at the good cops without looking at the bad cops. It's just, man, I don't know. But, and I'm going to move on from this. When I started setting up to do the podcast, I will admit I was very emotional, very sad over Breonna Taylor. I was more sad about her and her life than angry about the bullshit legal system and letting the cops off once again. Her life is more important than them getting off, getting away with it, if that makes sense. The sadness of the loss of her life means more than the anger at these bastards walking away laughing, which you know they are. They beat the system. So that's it. I'm going to stop there. I could keep going, but, you know, let's talk about some other thing. This surprised me. It's a shame. You know, I watched that Netflix special, The Social Network. It was good to me, not great. If you haven't heard of it, it's a documentary about our social networks, about, you know, Twitter and Facebook and Instagram and on, and how they affect people's views and how the algorithms create fake news and the addictions and how you're fed news that you like because of certain algorithms and on and on and on. And there's a lot to it. And again, I think it was good, but not great. They did talk about the problem we're going to have when there are no facts, right? So if social media gives each one of us our own facts, then there are no facts because no one believes the same thing, right? So that made sense. But here, there's a point to it. Somebody told the truth. Somebody in this administration accidentally told the truth. The acting Department of Homeland Security, a man named Chad Wolf, said during his confirmation hearing, white supremacists have become the, quote, most persistent and lethal internal threat to the U.S. White supremacist extremists, from a lethality standpoint, over the past 2 years, are the most persistent and lethal threat when we talk about domestic violent extremists. He told the truth. It's not this mysterious Antifa. It's not Black Lives Matter. It's not black on black crime in Chicago. It's not Latinos. It's not Mexicans. It's white supremacists. White supremacist groups, the most persistent and lethal internal threat to the United States. Now, he may have been sort of backed into having to tell the truth because there's a whistleblower who was named Brian Murphy, who was undersecretary in the Homeland Security Department Intelligence Office. And Brian Murphy says that they told him, he's the one who, you know, I guess did the research, whatever. And what research? Open the window, look outside. But anyway, he's the one who first said that white supremacists are the biggest threat. And he's claiming that Chad Wolf and other people told him not to say it. So now Wolf is saying it. I don't care why Wolf is saying it. It's the truth. It's on record. Somebody needs to tell the Barr about that. The attorney general who got his ass handed to him about his bullshit about I didn't know about these protests. Talking about the white protesters with guns in Michigan and all of these white supremacists. Protesters walking around. Barr was like, I didn't even know. But anyway, that's truth. That's the truth. And you want to know where it comes from, how pervasive it is, how deep it runs. In Dallas, Texas. Texas? Really? Happened in Texas? Yeah, it happened in Texas. In Dallas, Texas, a high school teacher listed Kyle Rittenhouse charged with killing two people at the protests in Kenosha. Yeah, he's the one, the 17-year-old with the gun who shot two people. Anyway, this teacher gave an assignment that asked high school students to write an essay about a modern hero. And the modern heroes he listed: Mahatma Gandhi, Cesar Chavez, Malcolm X, George Floyd, Joseph Rosenbaum, and Kyle Rittenhouse. He listed a 17-year-old who went to a protest with a gun and started killing people as a modern hero. This is why when you say that, well, white supremacists, yeah, that's how you feed white supremacy, when you call this guy, Rittenhouse, a hero. How this teacher didn't add Dylann Roof to his list, I don't know. How does it go? What is Black Lives Matter? Why are black people angry? This is mind-boggling, this story to me. I sent this story to somebody and I said, what year is it? In Iowa, a black man was found burned to death in a ditch. They burned up his body. Man's name was Michael Williams. He was killed charged with the murder. Stephen Vogel, Julia Cox, and Roy Lee Garner were charged with abuse of a corpse, destruction of evidence, and accessory after the fact. And Cody Johnson also charged with abuse of a corpse and accessory after the fact. So they strangled this black man, burned up his body, threw it in a ditch. And here's the thing. This is what's amazing. The police in Iowa are saying there's no evidence to lead them to believe the crime was motivated by his race or that it was a hate crime. No, a hate crime. Why would you think a black man strangled, burned up, and thrown into a ditch by four white people was a hate crime? Kind of makes you wonder, what is the standard for hate crime in this little town in Iowa? Do you have to actually be caught killing the person saying, I hate you for being black or Latinx or gay or different? I guess you have to, or maybe you have to leave a note. Maybe you have to leave a note and say, I killed him because I hate black people. I don't know. I don't know what's the standard for hate crime, but I'm going to go with white people strangling a black man and setting his body on fire and throwing it in the ditch is a hate crime. I know I'm not a legal scholar. We both know that, but I'm going to go with that. And here's the thing. It's not, I don't mean to laugh. And God bless this guy, Michael Williams. I'm not laughing about him being murdered. That obviously is a tragedy. But the outlandish, like they're so emboldened now. And make no mistake, this all comes from Trump. Trump leads the charge. Trump opened the door for them to be this emboldened. But they're so emboldened now to say, we don't give a shit. We don't care. Don't bother us with law, constitution, civil rights, and we don't give a shit. We'll kill him, burn up his body. Hate crime? No. Why would you think that? More 2020. Ruth Bader Ginsburg died last week, and the notorious RBG fought the good fight. She fought cancer, her life exemplary in fighting for women's rights, women's reproductive rights, civil rights for everyone, and on and on and on. Her entire life was a battle. So she's gone. And of course, the first thing turtle ass McConnell says is, well, we got to get another Supreme Court justice right away. Now, if you remember in 2016, McConnell said, you can't get a new Supreme Court justice, you know, with a presidential election coming up, because you have to leave it up to the people. See, it was going to be up to the people. But now, because a Republican is a president, and this is their logic, which I don't even understand, to cover their hypocrisy, that for some reason, since there's a president and the Senate are both Republican, the people have already spoken, so they got to replace really quick. And the candidates they're looking at for replacement are horrible. But anyway, they've been calling out these Republican senators on this, and they don't care. You know, Lindsey Graham was on the news explaining his bullshit, and Ted Cruz was on the news claiming his bullshit about why it's different and blah, blah, blah. They're even talking about Ted Cruz as a possible justice, which is horrible. Anyway, Lisa Murkowski, the Alaskan Republican senator, says, and Collins, they both say that they're not going to vote for the new Supreme Court justice. Yeah, right, Collins, like we believe you. Yeah, you said you weren't going to vote for Kavanaugh. They're going to do it. And I don't blame them, because we knew they were scumbags going in. And RBG, the notorious RBG, Justice Ginsburg, she tried. She was sick. She was old. She tried to hang in. She said her dying wishes that she's not replaced until after the election. No, this goes back to all the Democrats who couldn't vote for Hillary. I can never vote for Hillary. Bernie got robbed. I'm not going to. Yeah, this is it. So now another conservative justice on the court, and the only hope on saving the Supreme Court. And make no mistake, the Supreme Court is what matters. Okay. Brown versus Board Education and on Supreme Court decisions matter. Roe v. Wade, okay, legalizing abortion. Let me tell you something. They ban abortion. They don't care, because it doesn't ban their daughters from having abortions. Their daughters, they're all rich. Their daughters will fly to Europe and go on a little vacation and take care of a problem and come back home. That's how they used to do it, and they'll do it again. So the only hope that the Democrats have is to win the presidency and the Senate and to expand the Supreme Court. I believe they said the number would be 13 justices to make it fair again. That's a long shot. That is a long shot. But those emails, you couldn't vote for Hillary. Well, this is what we get. Garbage in, garbage out. Works with computers and governments. Dave Chappelle has done it again. I know, what a shift, right? Well, I got to shift to the good stuff. Dave Chappelle won an Emmy for his Netflix special, Sticks and Stones. If you remember, the critics destroyed it, said it was terrible, blah, blah, blah. I think it got on Rotten Tomatoes, if I remember, it was like the critics gave it a 0 and the fans gave it a 99, if I remember. Well, it turns out the fans were right, because Dave Chappelle won an Emmy and in his acceptance speech, look it up. Look up Dave Chappelle Emmy 2020. Watch his acceptance speech. He simply tells critics to shut the fuck up forever. You don't know what you're talking about. Once again, kudos to Dave. I'll give you one line from the speech that was great. He thanked his wife and he said, because for the last 25 years, she's had to put up with being married to the greatest comedian ever. God bless you, Dave. I love that. Let's shift into stupid, because you can't not shift into stupid. In Idaho, yeah, I'm laughing. Paul Van Noy, the senior pastor at the Candlelight Christian Fellowship, has been in the intensive care unit for 11 days after he contracted COVID-19. Of course, he told his flock they didn't have to wear masks. He didn't believe it. You know who likes masks, Pastor? Jesus. Apparently, Jesus likes masks. You didn't wear your mask, and you got the virus, and now you're in ICU. Understand the governor of Missouri, another anti-masker, also got the virus. Don't tell me that the virus is a Democrat. Man. Oh, stupid is as stupid does, said Mr. Gump. Patagonia, which is the high-end outdoors apparel maker, you've seen their fleece. If you haven't, just go to Seattle. Lord knows they wear it. Go to Seattle. They were all wearing fleece. Well, the Patagonia company, on the tags of all of their clothes, just put a little note saying, vote the assholes out. And they're talking about all these people who deny global warming, who deny climate change. Once again, led by the orange one, who merely said, well, it'll cool off. He's down to magic, by the way. That's my belief on Trump. He's simply, it's all he's got left. That's his idea. Magic. What's going to happen to the coronavirus? It'll go away. What's going to happen to global warming? It'll cool off. We used to call it PFM. When I fixed airplanes every now and then, how'd you fix that? PFM. Pure fucking magic. In other words, we don't know what happened. It just worked again. Or it stopped working or whatever. Ah! Enough of my nonsense. So, vote the assholes out. The key word there is vote. But I like the asshole word thrown in. Finally, I'm going to tell you, a friend of mine sent me a thread on Reddit about me. Apparently, there was a Reddit thread saying that I am underrated as a comedian. I am flattered by that. I have mixed feelings. I'm flattered, but I feel kind of bad in that, man, I guess I haven't worked hard enough on my publicity, or else I'd be rated harder. Or I can go with Dave and just say, fuck the critics forever, which I like. I like that. But I you know what? I appreciate you guys. There are people here who support me, who listen. I get some beautiful emails from fans for doing this podcast, for doing Wait, and for doing my comedy. They say it gives a voice. I try to stick to my voice. I try to be a voice of reason and funny at the same time. It ain't easy, folks. It ain't easy. Thank God for stupid. Thank God for stupid people that make my job a little easier. Like I said, Jesus told you to wear a mask. You didn't listen. So if I'm underrated on a wide scale, so be it. My life ain't bad. I get to tell jokes and play with motorcycles, and I got some of the coolest, nicest fans that anyone could have, which is all of you guys. Who's paying attention? You are. Take a moment. Think about Breonna Taylor. Say her name. Let's honor the memory of not just the politics, not just the anger, but the just simple honor of her life, a woman's life, a black woman's life, because black women's lives are so often underrated. On the topic of black women, Amanda Seales is a comedian, actress that I absolutely love, and she was on the reel for a minute, and they've stolen ideas. If you don't know who Amanda Seales is, look her up. Look her up, S-E-A-L-E-S. I love Amanda Seales. And that woman is strong, and I appreciate her. So that's it. I love you guys. Keep listening. I tell people over and over, keep laughing so they wonder what you're up to. Be careful out there. The streets are hot. The virus is still there. I don't know what else to tell you. Tune out. I still say that. Tune out. Don't go all news all the time. You'll go nuts. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Who's paying attention? You are. And I appreciate it.